Usually when a new world-changing technology arrives, there's this expectation of, of immediate mechanical clarity.
Right, like you immediately know what the thing actually does.
Exactly. I mean, think of the transition from the horse to the automobile. You buy the car, you put fuel in the tank, it drives, and you inherently understand its physical boundaries. It is a machine just doing machine things.
Yeah, the rules are obvious.
But you step into the current era of artificial intelligence, and suddenly we aren't really dealing with a machine anymore. We are dealing with something that feels a lot more like a ghost in the machine.
Oh, totally.
It's murky, it's unpredictable, and honestly, the rules of the road are just constantly shifting right underneath our tires.
It really is the absolute definition of technological whiplash. I mean, we wanted a better calculator, right? And instead, we got this wildly unpredictable collaborator.
And that tension is exactly what we are getting into today on this custom deep dive. Welcome in, by the way. Our mission today is to tear through a very specific, incredibly telling stack of news from Tech and AI Daily, specifically from May 17th, 2026.
Yeah, the backdrop for today's dive is truly fascinating.
It really is. We are examining a massive industry-wide vibe shift. We're officially exiting the theoretical hype phase of AI, that era where everyone was just making grand promises about the future. And we are hitting the hard structural reality of what happens when AI actually rolls up its sleeves and starts doing the work.
Oh, right. And it's a complex web we're looking at. Corporate strategy maneuvering, bleeding edge open source tech moving at light speed, and perhaps most interestingly, this profound human backlash against the over-abstraction of our tools.
Okay, let's unpack this, because we really have to start with the immediate fallout, the ground zero of this vibe shift.
The Bloomberg report.
Yeah, exactly, the Bloomberg report.
Yeah.
It marks a really sobering milestone. The United States is now seeing real, statistically measurable job losses due to AI exposure. We aren't talking about theoretical risk anymore.
No, it's actually happening right now.
We are talking about actual jobs in data entry, basic coding support, and content moderation just being eliminated. The whole era of the tech industry hand-waving this away by saying, don't worry, AI will just retrain everyone for better jobs. That seems to be officially over.
Yeah, the Bloomberg data basically confirms what many economists have been quietly predicting for a while now. I mean, tasks that are easily quantifiable and repetitive, taking data from point A and putting it into point B, or filtering out honest policy violations, those are being swallowed whole by the models.
Right.
But the real danger isn't just in the automation of the task. The real danger is what happens immediately after the task is automated.
Which brings up this incredibly viral Hacker News thread by Mitchell Hashimoto. It racked up over 1,700 points, which is just massive for that community.
Yeah, that thread was everywhere.
He focuses on this concept of AI psychosis. He points out that companies aren't just replacing data entry workers anymore. They are quietly delegating actual nuanced judgment to these models.
That's the terrifying part, honestly.
So let me put this into perspective for you. Is delegating judgment to AI like hiring an intern who never sleeps but occasionally hallucinates, and then just putting them in charge of your corporate strategy without double-checking their work?
What's fascinating here is that you call it a hallucinating intern, but honestly, that analogy is almost too forgiving.
Wait, really? Too forgiving?
Yeah, because if an intern hallucinates, they eventually crash, right? And a crash is loud, you notice it immediately. What Hashimoto is describing with this hallucination debt is a silent failure. The system doesn't crash at all, it just starts confidently making terrible decisions behind the scenes.
Wait, explain that. How does a model making a bad decision silently rot the system?
Well, think about it this way. When a company uses AI for data entry, the model is essentially acting as a very fast pair of hands. That's a binary task. It's either transcribed correctly or it isn't.
Makes sense.
But judgment like deciding whether a piece of borderline content is nuanced satire or an actual policy violation, or deciding how to route a really complex customer grievance, that requires context and reasoning.
Which models don't actually have.
Exactly. These AI models, at their core, are probabilistic. They are just extremely sophisticated guessing engines trying to predict the next word based on vast amounts of training data. They are not infallible truth machines.
Right.
So when companies replace human judgment with a probabilistic model, the errors aren't always obvious. If a model makes a slightly wrong judgment call on a Tuesday, and then another automated system bases its Wednesday process on that bad call,
Oh, wow. The errors compound.
Yes, they compound exponentially.
Ah, so that's the debt part of hallucination debt. It just keeps rolling over like high-interest credit cards.
Exactly. It quietly degrades the entire decision-making infrastructure of a company from the inside out. And because these companies have massive multi-million dollar contracts with AI vendors, nobody wants to be the one to stand up in a board meeting and say, hey, I think our automated systems are slowly going insane.
Yeah, that is not a fun presentation to give. So, if you're listening to this and you manage a team, or if you interact with enterprise software, you might already be seeing these cracks. The chatbot that confidently lies to a customer, or the automated workflow that just routes a critical email into the abyss,
It's happening everywhere.
which naturally leads us to how the heavyweights are reacting. If companies are waking up to this AI psychosis, if they're realizing they've outsourced their judgment to unpredictable black box models, it makes total sense that they would suddenly be obsessed with gaining control.
Oh, absolutely.
Reuters is reporting that Microsoft, the very company that tied its entire ship to the OpenAI mast,
Yeah.
is quietly scoping out startup acquisitions to reduce its reliance on that partnership.
Right, it's a classic corporate hedging strategy. I mean, the OpenAI partnership gave Microsoft a massive early lead, obviously.
Yeah, they were everywhere.
But when your core product relies entirely on an API provided by a single external vendor, you don't actually own your destiny. You are completely at their mercy.
Because it's a black box.
Exactly. If OpenAI changes their model weights overnight and suddenly Microsoft's Copilot starts acting completely differently, Microsoft can't just go in and fix it. They have to ask OpenAI to fix it. Microsoft is realizing that relying on one massive, monolithic god model is just a massive liability.
So what does this all mean? We're seeing Microsoft scoping out smaller labs. And at the exact same time, we have developers on Hacker News obsessing over DeepSeek V4 Flash, releasing its open weights.
Yeah, the DeepSeek news is huge.
And they're using the open weights specifically to use something called steering vectors to control model behavior. If the open source community and the biggest corporation in the world are both chasing the exact same thing, does this mean the era of the uncontrollable giant model is over? Are we moving toward an era of customizable models with steering wheels attached?
That is precisely the transition we're in. And let's look at DeepSeek's open weights to really understand why.
Yeah, break that down for us.
So weights are essentially the mathematical connections inside the AI's brain. When a model is closed behind an API, like OpenAI's models, you can only talk to it through text prompts. It is literally like trying to steer a horse by shouting at it.
Right. Be more polite. Don't hallucinate.
Yeah, and sometimes it listens and sometimes it completely ignores you.
Prompting really does feel more like casting spells than actually writing code.
It totally does. But when you have the open weights, you can use steering vectors. And this isn't prompting at all. This is going into the actual mathematical layers of the neural network during inference and applying a mathematical vector to shift its
Oh,
activations.
wow. So you're changing the brain surgery style.
Exactly. You can structurally dial down aggression, or you can mathematically dial up analytical thinking. It changes the calculus entirely from just hoping the AI gives you a good answer to actively engineering its internal cognitive process.
Okay, so open weights give us a steering wheel. That solves the control problem. We don't have to shout at the horse anymore.
Right.
But steering a model that suffers from severe amnesia every time you talk to it is completely useless. I mean, if we want these customized agents running our systems locally, they need memory, right? How do we do that without melting our hard drives?
Yeah.
Because this Arxiv paper on DeltaMem seems to be trying to solve exactly that.
It is, and it's brilliant. To understand why DeltaMem is such a big deal, we have to talk about the KV cache.
The key value cache.
Yeah. Think of the KV cache as the AI's short-term memory scratch pad. Every single time you ask an AI a question, it has to hold the entire history of your conversation in this scratch pad to understand the context.
Okay.
As the conversation gets longer, that scratch pad gets massive. It completely fills up the VRAM, the video memory on your graphics card. And with standard models, every time you add a new sentence, the model has to mathematically recompute a huge chunk of that scratch pad.
Which is why, if you try to give a local AI a 100-page PDF, your computer sounds like a jet engine taking off.
Yes, it's an incredible computational bottleneck. What the DeltaMem paper proposes is an efficient online memory mechanism that completely avoids that full KV cache recomputation.
Wait, how?
Instead of recalculating the whole scratch pad, it only calculates the delta, the strict mathematical difference, like just the new information, and seamlessly updates the existing cache.
Oh, that's so smart.
It really is. This means an AI agent, like OpenClaw, for example, can run continuously for days, remembering exactly what you told it on Monday, without requiring a massive data center to process the conversation by Thursday.
So instead of the AI having to reread the entire encyclopedic history of your project every single time you say hello, it literally just updates the delta. It just remembers where you left off.
Right. And when you combine Microsoft looking for controllable labs, DeepSeek proving that open models can be mathematically steered, and DeltaMem solving the long-term memory bottleneck.
That's all coming together.
Yeah, you see the exact blueprint for the next era. It is not about one massive, uncontrollable brain in the cloud. It's about highly efficient, highly controllable, remembering agents running locally on your own hardware.
And when you say running locally, if you're listening, think about the rig sitting on your desk right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the push for independence isn't just happening in corporate strategy.
Mm.
The speed of open source acceleration is staggering.
It's moving so fast.
We have two massive technical leaps to cover from the local developer side. First, a repository called Orthrus Quen 3 just achieved a 7.8 times increase in token throughput.
Almost 8 times faster.
It generates text almost 8 times faster. And second, NVIDIA Labs just dropped CineWM. It's an open-source world model that can generate a full minute of 720p video, and it's only 2.6 billion parameters.
These developments really represent the true democratization of AI. I mean, capabilities that required a multi-million dollar server farm last year are now being compressed down to run on a high-end consumer laptop.
Okay, but I need you to help me with this Orthrus Quen 3 repo, though. It says they got an almost 8x speed increase with something called speculative decoding.
Yeah, speculative decoding is fascinating.
My brain immediately assumes they are just cutting corners on accuracy to go faster. Like, you know, lowering the resolution in a video game to get better frame rates. You lose quality, right?
Actually, it's the exact opposite. The output is mathematically identical to the original model. It is completely lossless.
Wait, how do you get 8 times faster with zero loss in quality? That doesn't make sense.
Okay, so speculative decoding is brilliant. Imagine you have a very senior, very slow master chef.
Okay.
And you also have a very fast but slightly less experienced prep cook. Instead of the master chef carefully chopping every single onion and measuring every spice one by one, the fast prep cook guesses what the chef needs and prepares a whole sequence of ingredients in advance.
I see where this is going.
The master chef then just glances at the cutting board, verifies, yes, that's exactly what I wanted, and throws it all in the pan at once.
Okay, I like this. How does that translate to the model?
Well, an AI generating text one token or word at a time is very slow because the massive model has to be loaded into memory for every single word.
Right.
With speculative decoding, you use a tiny, lightning-fast draft model to quickly guess the next 5 or 10 words. Then the massive, highly accurate model takes those guessed words and runs a single verification pass on all of them simultaneously.
Because modern GPUs are incredible at parallel processing.
Exactly. Verifying 10 words at once takes about the same amount of time as generating one word from scratch. If the draft model guessed right, you just skipped 9 steps. If it guessed wrong, the big model just corrects it. It completely breaks the sequential bottleneck.
That is wild. It turns a guessing game into a parallel processing advantage.
Yeah, it's incredible engineering.
And speaking of parallel processing, let's talk about NVIDIA's CineWM. You said it's 2.6 billion parameters. To give you some context, if you're listening, the models running things like ChatGPT are widely estimated to be well over a trillion parameters.
Oh, easily.
So this NVIDIA model is basically a pocket-sized brain, but it's pumping out a full minute of 720p video. Have we reached a point where architectural elegance is actually beating brute force scale?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we absolutely have. And it really comes down to what CineWM actually is. The WM stands for World Model.
Right, which is different from early video generators.
Very different. Early video generators were basically just pixel predictors. They looked at a frame and guessed what the next pixel should look like. They didn't understand gravity or object permanence or, you know, how shadows cast light across a room.
So if a car drove behind a tree, it might come out the other side looking like a bicycle.
Precisely. Because it didn't actually know the car still existed while it was hidden. It was just guessing pixels. A world model, on the other hand, actually simulates the 3D physics and spatial reality of the environment.
And doing that takes a lot of compute.
Usually, yes. To do that in high definition for a full minute usually takes a colossal model. But NVIDIA managed to shrink it to 2.6 billion parameters by focusing heavily on latent space compression.
Which means what exactly?
Basically, teaching the model to simulate the core physics of a scene without wasting compute on the tiny, irrelevant visual noise until the very last step. It proves that we don't always need to build bigger data centers. Sometimes we just need to build smarter architectures.
Okay, so local models are getting insanely fast. They can generate hyper-realistic videos simulating actual physics on a laptop, and they're taking over data entry and coding jobs. This brings us to the human reaction.
Yes.
How are actual humans, particularly the developers building this stuff, responding to a reality where the machine can do almost everything faster? Well, they seem to be having an existential crisis, followed by a profound desire to just strip everything away and return to the absolute basics.
It's a fascinating psychological pivot, really. And the clearest signal of this crisis is in the cybersecurity talent pipeline. The sources show that frontier AI models have effectively killed the OpenCTF format.
Wow. For those who might not be deep into cyber, CTF stands for Capture the Flag.
Right.
These are incredibly complex security challenges where hackers try to find hidden vulnerabilities in a system.
Very difficult challenges.
Yeah. Historically, these were designed by experts, for experts, and could take days of grueling mental labor to reverse engineer.
Right. And according to the reports, the latest AI models are now ingesting these massive, complex code bases and solving the CTFs in minutes.
Minutes.
Literally minutes. The competitive format as a human endeavor is just permanently altered. But the real issue is that CTFs weren't just a game. They were the primary filter the entire tech industry used to identify, train, and recruit top-tier security talent.
So if the AI solves the puzzle instantly, how do you find the brilliant human mind who knows how to secure a system?
You don't. Or at least the old way of finding them is completely broken. We are staring down the barrel of a massive talent pipeline crisis.
But here's where it gets really interesting, because the human reaction to this isn't to just throw our hands up, surrender, and let the AI do everything. It is the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It's like AI just handed us a microwave that cooks a Michelin star meal in 10 seconds. But instead of cheering, developers are suddenly craving the process of chopping their own vegetables and building a campfire.
That is a brilliant way to phrase it. It captures the mood perfectly.
Look at Julia Evans on Hacker News. She racked up over 300 points writing a post about dropping Tailwind. Tailwind is a highly abstracted web design framework that makes styling websites very fast. But she dropped it just to relearn structured, vanilla CSS.
Yeah, going back to the basics.
If you spent the last 6 months fighting with AI-generated boilerplate code, you probably understand exactly why she felt the need to just write plain vanilla code again.
Absolutely.
And on top of that, we have developers spending their mornings building incredibly complex, wildly impractical compatibility layers to run Windows 95 and Windows 98 software natively under Linux. Why? Are these people just demanding to touch the bare metal again because AI abstracted too much away?
Yes, that's exactly it. When a machine can instantly generate the final output loses its intrinsic value. The value shifts completely back to the process.
The journey, not the destination.
Exactly. So the Tailwind to CSS story resonated so deeply because developers are just exhausted. They're tired of layering abstractions on top of abstractions until they have no idea how their own code actually works. Tailwind is fantastic for speed, sure, but when an AI can build a website in 2 seconds, human speed is irrelevant.
Right. You can't outspeed the machine.
So deep understanding becomes the premium. People want to feel the texture of the materials they are working with.
It's a rebellion against the black box. They want to know how the engine works, not just that it turns on.
Exactly. And the Windows 9X project on Linux is the ultimate expression of that rebellion. Think about it. Nobody needs to run 1998 software on a modern Linux kernel for productivity. It is entirely impractical.
Oh, completely useless for a modern workflow.
But to make it work, you need a deep, fundamental understanding of how operating systems communicate with raw hardware at the lowest level. It is a labor of love. It's a puzzle solved for the sheer joy of understanding the architecture. Humans must find value in the deep comprehension of their tools. If we just accept the AI's output blindly, we become entirely alienated from the very digital world we built.
That is a heavy but incredibly necessary way to look at it. As we wrap up this deep dive, it is wild to look back at the journey we just took through this stack of news.
It's been quite the ride.
We started at the macroeconomic level, real job losses and corporate panic over hallucination debt, realizing that delegating human judgment to a probabilistic guessing engine is a very dangerous game.
A silent failure, as we say.
Exactly. Then we traveled through the tech world's desperate pivot toward control, exploring how mathematical steering vectors and DeltaMEMS cache updates are enabling a whole new generation of customizable, hyper-efficient local models.
Democratizing the power.
And finally, we landed on the human reaction, the existential dread of AI breaking our best talent filters, countered by this beautiful, stubborn human desire to strip away the abstractions and write vanilla code just to feel connected to the craft again.
It really is the messy, complicated transition from hype to reality. We are figuring out where the machine ends and where the human necessity begins.
And that brings us to you, listening right now. Think about your own workflow today. Are you finding yourself relying on more and more layers of AI abstraction, just hoping the intern doesn't silently hallucinate your next big project? Or are you starting to feel that itch to drop the frameworks, pull back the curtain, and understand the raw mechanics underneath?
And that raises one final crucial question to leave you with. If AI models are now instantly solving the complex security challenges that used to train our brightest minds, and humans are retreating to vintage tech and vanilla code just to feel connected to the process, who will actually have the deep, fundamental knowledge required to fix the systems of tomorrow when the AI makes a mistake it can't solve?
It's the ghost of the machine all over again. We thought we bought a predictable appliance, and instead, we adopted something that is forcing us to completely redefine our relationship with knowledge, work, and control. Thank you so much for taking this custom exploration with us. Keep questioning the abstractions, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.